And welcome to another edition of Locked On Yankees. I'm your host, Larry Fleischer, longtime media guy who's written many articles on the Yankees and things related to the Yankees over the years for various outlets. And I am your host for tonight's edition of Locked On Yankees, which is being recorded after the Yankees lost a 5-1 decision to the Houston Astros today. And more specifically, they really didn't do much off Justin Verlander. And it kind of illustrated the need that, A, the Yankees missed out on Justin Verlander significantly. And B, that acquiring other pitching is going to be a theme for the Yankees as they approach the July 31st non-waiver trade deadline. Still 2 months away, but it's a theme. I mean, the Yankees are going to need a pitcher here. Last week we were talking about Cole Hamels because the Yankees faced him, and Cole Hamels properly stuck it to him by pitching really well in a game that the Yankees kind of came back and won. But today, Justin Verlander, he's dominated. I mean, he dominated him, not in the sense of 14 strikeouts, 8 scoreless innings domination, but you had a sense that when the Astros went up 3-0, as good as the Yankees have been about coming back, the chances of them winning this game were not much. And this is no knock on Domingo Germán, who did a incredible job. Not great. He wasn't great. He wasn't terrible. 4 runs, 3 earned in about 5 2/3 innings. But this was just how much the Yankees could have used a Justin Verlander. And it becomes more apparent every time we watch one of those tedious outings by Sonny Gray against the good team, which what we saw on Saturday night when he really couldn't get past the fourth inning, and what we've seen in other games as he continues to confound us with his inconsistency while nibbling through, as opposed to Justin Verlander, who just attacks and knows how to use all his pitches and everything like that. Verlander is an incredible 11-2 with the Astros. I think it's 11-2. It's something like that. It's really good. He's 16-3 with them. 3 of those wins are against the Yankees. 3 of those wins are against the Yankees. He had 2 in the ALCS and the game today. And it's just a reflection. I mean, Verlander has not had, historically, had great numbers against the Yankees. So going back to his Tigers days, but he seems to be rejuvenated, I guess. You know, going from the rebuilding Tigers to the Astros, a team that is the defending world champions. And they really wouldn't have been the world champions if without 2 of his outings in the ALCS. Which brings us to the point, obviously the Yankees are not going to get Justin Verlander. He is not going anywhere. And there's going to be talk about who the Yankees are going to get. Is it going to be Cole Hamels? Is it going to be someone else? But a name that I saw mentioned in a column on one of the papers apps was J.A. Happ. Happ is a guy who is not as good as Hamels, doesn't have the track record of Hamels, but he's steady. He is a steady kind of type. This year he is 7-3, 3.84. Last year he was 10-11, 3.53. That kind of indicates that he wasn't getting a lot of run support. And in 2016, when the Blue Jays won the wild card game, he was 20-4. And he has pitched well against the Yankees in the past. This is a guy who has turned it around after leaving Pittsburgh. He was 7-2. So since the halfway point of the 2015 season, has 45 wins against about 20 losses. So
and the Blue Jays, I mean, yeah, they were off to a nice start when they first came into Yankee Stadium last month. But they're really kind of slipping away. 25 and 29, 12 games out. And if you assume that the Yankees are going to be the wild card team, they're really not really in the wild card race now. I mean, the Yankees are 8.5 ahead of them. And, you know, the point being that Hap would probably cost less than Cole Hamels. I don't know what the Rangers' asking price would be, but I'm sure it would be for some of the significant types. You know, the Justice Sheffields and the Yankees can go from there. But if you type in the news results, J.A. Happ Yankees, you see the article. J.A. Happ could be the target the Yankees should ignore. And yeah, Yankees do have a history of making some under-the-radar moves. And going back to history, like when they acquired Sean Chacon, Corey Lytle, and I think at this point in his career, J.A. Happ is better than those two pitchers were at the time of their acquisition, even though those two had some success with the Yankees going back. Happ's exact numbers are 44-20 since the halfway point of 2015, 3.2 ERA, 2.6 per 9 innings, and a slash line of 236, 293, 370. While Hamels has similar, 36-17, just a little higher ERA. And So, Happ is going to make a lot of money still. But he's making half of what Hamels is making, so in theory, it would be a better... Sure. But that's the conversation the Yankees could have going forward. I mean, obviously, they're going to scour the trade market for pitching as we go along. But that's one thing that really became apparent when they fell behind just Verlander early and their chances of winning didn't really increase. I mean, you never got the sense that they were going to win this game. They put two on in the fifth, but it didn't materialize. Greg Bird hit a home run, which was nice to see. And it just never felt like they were going to win this game. And it kind of underscored a need, a deficiency that the Yankees have with the starting pitching. I mean, beyond Luis Severino, any night is unpredictable. I mean, yes, Tanaka can show his good stuff like he did the Sunday when he struck out Ohtani twice and pitched six innings. But if we're being frank about it, Justin Verlander is the dividing point between the Yankees and the World Series as we speak. It's a guy who, I mean, Even if he faces a Yankee lineup with Giancarlo Stanton in the playoffs again, you would think that any team with Justin Verlander might be favored over the Yankees based on how he's done, based on how he did, and based on the current state of Yankee pitching at the moment. But that'll be enough topic we will delve into as we get closer to the trade deadline, which is still 2 months away. And speaking of acquisitions, if you'd like to advertise on the show, you can email us at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can inquire about advertising on the program, and we will accommodate you. And if you want to download the show and subscribe to it, you can subscribe to it via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anything else that's a podcast thing that I usually don't remember all of. You can subscribe to those, leave a comment, tell us what you think, and
so on. And in the previous segment, we mentioned Justin Verlander standing in the way of the Yankees last year with a lineup within Stanton, without Giancarlo Stanton, and so on. But today the Yankees lineup did not have Giancarlo Stanton, and yeah, it was kind of noticeable. I mean, yeah, they're playing a lot of games in a row. I think it's 14 and 13 days because they have a day-night doubleheader in Detroit next Monday, sandwiched between a series in Baltimore and Toronto. So, you know, it is understandable, but it's noticeable when a hitter of that caliber, making that much money, does not play against the best. Especially after a weekend when he went 0 for 12. And, you know, at least there's some talk. Somebody asked to Aaron Boone before the game today, is this related to his numbers in Yankee Stadium? And Boone says, no, not at all. Which is probably true. I mean, it just happened to be a weird coincidence that Stanton was rested on a day when Justin Verlander was pitching. But Stanton has not been good in Yankee Stadium for whatever reason. You'd think he's got a .202 average, which is 22 for 109, 6 homers, 15 RBIs, and 688 OPS. And yeah, there is always the adjustment phase. But the adjustment phase, we're closing on 2 months, so we have to wonder, when is he really going to get going in Yankee Stadium? And I think he will. I just, you know, I guess, not me personally, I'm not, but I'm sure there are many fans who are anxious, getting impatient about that, and really are probably getting tired of Aaron Boone saying things like, but there is always the adjustment phase. When he goes through that, I know he has his ups and downs already. He's been wildly productive over time and continuing to work at it. And will continue to get more comfortable. And there will be that period I am confident he will take off. Yeah, I agree with him. But, you know, I am alarmed that he still has such a low average against at Yankee Stadium. And I'm also alarmed that he has a low average against right-handed pitching. He's batting .199, which is 28 for 141, I believe. Let me just check that, because the article I'm citing is off by, yeah, it's 28 for 141 against right-handers. And he's also hitting .208 with runs in scoring position. So I'm sure he's frustrated too. I mean, I'm sure he is. I mean, you don't expect to see .246. But he has 11 home runs, 28 RBIs. And his road numbers are incredible. .302, 5 homers, 13 RBIs, 941 OPS. And his numbers against lefties, .370. 7 homers, 15 RBIs. So maybe that's a good thing considering they're facing Dallas Keuchel, who, other than the on Wednesday, other than the game 5 against in the ALCS, always seems to stick it to the Yankees in any game that they play. So when Stanton didn't play, made for a different lineup that we hadn't seen but much. We saw Greg Bird bat fourth, and Bird's at bats have been good so far. I mean, it's a proverbial small sample size. But they've been good. They've been okay since he came back. Today he homered off Justin Verlander's fastball. But then most noticeable, we saw Didi Gregorius moved all the way down to seventh. A month ago at this time, Didi Gregorius was the MVP. And into the first week of May, he was hitting .333. But now he entered the game 4 for 70. Which is .057. You know, and he's been swinging at a lot of early in the count kind of things, which is understandable. You're anxious to get going, and you don't necessarily want to wait all day
to get that hit. And when you're slumping, I would imagine you probably want to, the first pitch you think you can hit, you probably want to do it. Today went 2-for-4 with a pair of singles. I would never, if I was writing anything about that, I wouldn't say that he snapped the slump, because his slump is now 6-for-74. It would be more like he paused or temporarily halted the slump. And he had, and you know, he had a pair of singles. I don't know what that means. I mean, it was his first multi-hit game since May 3rd. And that was also, that was the game in Houston when they came back and scored all those runs in the night. They won 6-5. And at the time, he's hitting 333. So his average has dropped 100 points just by this slump. So it's too early to say he's coming out of it. I mean, you need to see probably about a week worth of fairly adequate production for a guy to, for anyone to say he snapped out of a slump. But the lineup was interesting to see the configuration. I mean, we all kind of, you know, a lot of us, fans, media, anyone else, you know, we go, lineups are always a great talking point. And it's always interesting to see. Another thing that we saw in the lineup was Gleyber Torres hitting fifth. He'd spend most of the time hitting seventh, and people have been advocating for him for, you know, the last couple weeks for him to hit first, hit second, hit ahead of Aaron Judge. But fifth was okay. I mean, he didn't really do much. He got the first hit off Justin Verlander in the second inning, and then didn't really do anything of note. Excuse me. But it'd be interesting to see, you know, if Torres goes above fifth. I think we'll see more of a normal configuration that we've seen tomorrow with Stanton back in there. But, you know, it is interesting to see if Stanton really starts to get it going. He has good numbers off Charlie Morton. How much that means, actually, probably, I don't know, because I don't think he's faced him in the last 2 years when Charlie Morton has seemingly gone from middling right-handed pitcher with decent curveball and decent sinker to a really good pitcher. Morton is 7-0, and he's won his last 10 decisions going back to last year, but that'll be a topic that will be addressed on future episodes of Locked On Yankees. We hope that the, I'm sure if you have tickets, if you are going to the game tomorrow, you hope that if the Astros do get ahead early, it does not, the probability of a Yankee win is not as low as it seemed today with Justin Verlander. And we want to see more outings like Tanaka and more Severino, and it's not going to halt the fact that the Yankees do need a pitcher, because they do. It's not. But it'll halt the talk that the Yankees need more than one pitcher. But overall, you know, the Yankees are in a good place here. 33-17. I mean, you're not going to win 17 of your 18 games all the time. You're not. It's just not going to happen. But just think about this. If the Yankees went 33-17 again, that would be 66-34. And if they went 33-17 again, that would be 99-51. So you get the idea where this is going. So overall, the Yankees are in a good place. And they'll close out May with two more games against the Houston Astros before heading out for an interesting trip against, I guess you could say, a trip where they have an opportunity to pad the schedule, because they're playing the losing teams like the Orioles, who are 20 games under already, which is, I mean, hard to believe given how some of the recent Oreo teams have done. A Detroit team, which is maybe a little better record-wise than people thought, but still under .500. A Toronto team who has really faded from a really good start. And a Mets team who, man, is seemingly a mess as they are playing right now as a recording, losing 4-3 in the second game of a day-night doubleheader. And so that seems to be a chance for the Yankees to really maybe go on another similar type of role that they had been on. But when you're 30, it's hard to complain when you're 33-17, though I'm sure the internet will find ways. And if you'd like to follow us on the internet, you could follow us on Twitter at LockedOnYankees. And if you'd like to advertise on our internet website, LockedOnYankees.com, you can email us at LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. And if you want to subscribe to us via the internet or via any apps on your phone, listen to us on your commute to Yankee Games or your commute to anywhere else, you can download us at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, anything else that has a podcast component that I didn't think of. And that's all for tonight, as Yankees are 33-17 at the first milepost of the year, as they say, at Memorial Day, which is one of the better records they've had at this time of the year in recent seasons. And we will talk to you soon. I'm Larry Fleischer, and you've been listening to Locked On Yankees.